Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Warriors. Listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just gonna jump right into it. I always talk to
gambling.
What do
they think about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're gonna win.
You're not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park.
Hey, welcome to Inside the Park, everybody. This is Lamar Powell, and tonight we have a couple of guests. We have in the house, and we have Mike in the house. How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
Devon?
You know I'm here doing my thing, man. I'm here for a minute, letting it marinate for a minute. Glad to have you on, Lamar.
Thank you. I'm glad to talk with you guys.
Part of what we're going to jump on with early on, I figure I would come on, is because, RJ has been doing the kind of lead host for a long time, and, you know, we got some long time Inside the Park listeners, and we a lot like Wu-Tang. You know, it's almost like, you know, RJ is going off to do his solo album, like Method Man, and but he's still going to be coming back and being engaged, and Lamar's coming on like a young Tony Parker. Mike is Duncan. You know, he can do all of it and everything else. And Hank is Ginobili. We never know what shot he's going to take. But we're looking forward to them, all y'all hitting the championships. And glad to continue to start this program. It's one of my, you know, favorite aspects that we've added to the RSG family. So it's good to be here. So, Lamar, welcome. And, you got tonight, you're hanging with a really good guy. You know, Mike is, like you say, like Duncan. He can go for 34 and 18 any night.
That's what I like to hear. I want one of those guys on my team.
Well, I'm not going to take too much of y'all's show. I know y'all got a heavy show, so I'm going to let you two go on and do your thing. But good luck with it, and I look forward to coming back on and talking baseball with y'all.
Thanks, Devon.
All right, tonight we got some good topics to talk about. First quarter of baseball, been a lot of good things that's happened, and then there's been some disappointments. So let's get into the quarter reviews for this season. How you feeling about this, Mike?
Feeling good. I think it's been, you know what, it's been a fun year so far. I think pitching's been the name of the game so far. And, we've talked a little bit about free agency and the approach of teams in free agency. These big market clubs, these big spending clubs versus developing the farm system type approach and where that's going to get it. And I think it's kind of played out the right way so far, that you're seeing the teams that are building their teams the right way with their own talent are having a lot of success. And maybe that get-rich-quick, trade for that talent, pay for that talent, isn't necessarily doing what they thought it was going to be. So, it's good karma, I think, for the world.
I definitely agree with you. There's teams out there that that the expectations was there, and they're doing good so far. And then you have teams out there, I won't throw the Dodgers out there like that, but they're one of those teams that payroll's outrageous, and health is with every team, but they really just not exceeding so far. And same thing with the Angels. What's up with all those LA teams not doing so well, Mike?
I was looking at this. Baseball is such an interesting thing because of the way that the free agency is structured, okay, that a player cannot get to free agency until they've served 6 years of service time in the big leagues, okay? And if you think the average break-in time of a major league player is probably about 25, you know, 25, 26, you're talking about a guy starting on the backside of his career, over 30, before he can sign that big contract and go where he wants to go. And unfortunately, you know, we all know that, you know, every year over 30 is kind of a gift. So, you know, there's big risks there. And both those teams, if you look at, you know, the Dodgers and the Angels, you know, there's a lot of players that are on the wrong side of 30, you know, got a lot of money, have some injury issues, have the tire on the treads worn a little bit, and you get what you get, you know. Sometimes those guys can have 2 or 3 great years in a row, and then, you know, they're gone for a year for whatever reason. So I'm not completely surprised. I think on this show everybody talked about that it was a risky approach. So, and like I said before, it's good karma. It's good karma when the big teams that spend the money don't do so well.
I totally agree with you. And with that being said, let's get into on all the teams from each division, and we'll give them a grade so and see how they've done so far in this first quarter. So let's start with the AL East, Mike. Very, to me, it's the best division in baseball. Their top four teams year in, year out can go to the playoffs, and they can make a run at the World Series. So our first team, we got the Boston Red Sox, and they've had a rough couple of years the last couple of years. Right now they're sitting at 36-23. What grade would you give them?
I think this is an A for Boston. They, you know, after such a disappointing year last year, the expectations weren't that high. You know, they had a directed approach to go away from the Yankee method, right? They weren't going to spend a lot of money. They were trading away. You know, Beckett's gone. Crawford's gone. And Gonzalez is gone. So they were going to try to build it from within. And to see a team like that have this type of success, obviously they still have some payroll and they're paying some players. But it's a good story, and I think it shows that philosophy worked for them. So I think that's an A.
I'll go with you on that. I'll give them an A as well. I like, just how you said, they had those big contracts in Crawford and Beckett, and Lackey was another one with the Tommy John, but he's slowly coming back, and he's that fourth or fifth starter. But like you said, they have a lot of good players now on that team, and they made some good moves. You got Jackie Bradley Jr. He's going to be – this kid's going to be a star within the next couple of years. And Stephen Drew coming over from the Diamondbacks, he's going to be – he fits the Boston team. You know, he's that shortstop. He won't hurt you, but, you know, the reward is high. And Ortiz – You never know what you're going to get out of him. He has good spurts and he has good times. Like you said about the other players we were talking about in L.A., he's up there with the house. So I think if they get a closer at the deadline and if they stay where they're at, I think they could definitely make a run this year. So I agree with you and I give the Red Sox an A. All right. Next team, let's go the Yankees. What grade would you give them right now? They're sitting at 34-5. Two games out of first place. How do you feel about the Yankees?
You know, this is a good exercise for this reason. So just because the team's at the top of the division doesn't mean they get an A. Just because the team's in the middle means they get a C. You know, you got to really measure that against, you know, preseason expectations, really where you thought the team was going to be. Are they overachieving? Are they underachieving? You know, I'm going to give the Yankees a B because, you know, they're 34-25, okay? So they've got a good record. The pitching staff was the concern going into this, and the pitching staff's done very, very well for them up to this point. What they haven't done is really hit, you know? They're the last in the division in hitting. They're ninth in the American League in hitting. That's not a typical Yankee stat, but they're still winning ball games. And, you know, with that, I think they're doing it despite the fact they're not hitting on all cylinders. I still think this is a really old team. I still don't think the pitching is going to hold up for the whole year. But the fact that they're 2 games out and they've got a respectable record, you know, that's a solid B for the Yankees.
Very good points, Mike. On this one, I'm going to have to give the Yankees an A just for these reasons. You have right now you have Jeter that's been out. You have Scherer that's been out. You had, Euculus was out, and Euculus and Teixeira just got back. And like you said, they really don't have the bats, but you got guys like Vernon Wells, Lyle Overbay, and Brett Gardner, you know, keeping them close, you know. And like you said, the pitching staff is not the greatest, but I think if they make more moves, who knows if a Matt Garza type pitcher or something like that at the deadline is available, or, you know, somebody that I think they should make a move for one of those pitchers and, like you said, get a good 1-2 punch if they make it to the playoffs. And how about Rivera in his last year? I know he's had that one blown save against the Mets, but pretty good year so far.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He really has. And that was a concern that Rivera was not going to be Rivera when he came back this year. This guy could pitch till he's 50, I think. You know, but, you know, to your point with the Yankees, they've been doing it with other teams' cast-offs. You know, Lyle Overbay you could have had for a song and a dance 2 years ago, much less last year. And Vernon Wells, you couldn't pay anybody to take his contract with the Angels, so or the Blue Jays. But the concern is that they're relying on guys that, man, I'd be really surprised if those numbers look the same way towards the end of the year. So they need to make sure.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And we forgot one more name. We forgot Travis Hafner, an Indian guy that now is pinstripe. So how you feel about that?
I think it sounds like a 2005 All-Star team. That's what I think.
It does. It sounds just like a 2005 All-Star team. They're the new Celtics, you know. They're the older guys, you know, but they're still at bay, you know. They're hanging around first place. Well, we'll see where they end up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Next team, we got the Baltimore Orioles. They made it to the postseason last year. They're a young team. Buck Showalter, great.
You know what? With Baltimore, the concern with them coming into the year was last year they were they had a lot of moxie, I think is the way to put it. They won an incredible amount of one-run games, extra inning games. They won every close game that was out there, and that's tough to repeat, you know. And they haven't necessarily done that per se, but what they've done is they've scratched out wins. I think Crash Davis coming in there, having just a great year for them this year has led them and given them an identity, which is what that team needed. So I'm pretty happy with them. I think that's about a B+. I don't know that Baltimore would have had any higher expectations than this at this point. You know, you may like to get a little bit better pitching. Everybody wants better pitching. And I think the concern for them is just going to be, can they continue to hit? Can they be, you know, first in the American League in home runs, second in average, and can they bring that team ERA down? So at this point, a nice, solid B+ for Baltimore. They should be happy.
A B+ definitely works for them, and I agree with you. If they can continue the hitting and get Markakis healthy and Jones still produce, and got a young catcher, and Wieters is just a stud. He's going to be – I like Wieters more than Joe Mauer. I mean, that was my favorite catcher, but I think – Wieters is the new catch in the American League now, and they got some pieces for the future that is going to be really good for them. I'd like to see them, just like you said, pick up another pitcher, and if they're still contending at the time. But like you said, there's no big expectations coming in this year. They went to the playoffs last year, and they wasn't expected to do that. So we'll see if they win those close games again this year.
Yeah, and you know what? A good parallel for them, we'll get to the other league, but I think them and Pittsburgh are kind of mirror organizations, right? Their team, although Baltimore squeaked in the playoffs and Pittsburgh did not, they faded. These are two teams that if you look at the roster up and down, you're like, okay, there's some good pieces, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily pick them if I had, $5 to bet on the game, but they win, you know? And it would be easy for those teams to go out and maybe overspend for a free agent or two, but they seem to be really sticking with their philosophies that they have in-house about building from internally, and if they're going to pick up a free agent, it's going to be a mid-level type free agent. The problem is when it comes to August and September, those teams have a tendency to fade, but they're really easy to root for. You know what I mean? It's a good story.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. That was Baltimore last year, and that was Oakland last year, the last day of the season.
Yep.
All right, next team, we got the Tampa Bay Rays, the team that's had great times past few years, series appearance. And it seems like when they lose their great players, it seems like that they would fall off, but they don't. So right now they're sitting at 31-26, 4 games out of 4th place. How do you feel?
I think this is a C season for Tampa Bay at this point, in my opinion. I think they had higher expectations. I think that they thought they could hit a little bit better than they've been hitting. I know they're 5 games over, but they've been right around 500 for a long, long time this year, if not below. They've been sitting around 4th place, and they've been coming around lately, which is good. They dug themselves a hole, but, you know, I think that them, as much as anybody, has a chance to rebound because, you know, I think pitching wins. I think they've got talent up and down that roster. They've got a lot of young talent. So I would look for them to, you know, as Tampa Bay has over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, you know, they may not start strong, but they always come back in the end because they got the arms to do it. So I don't think they're happy. I think they're at a C right now, but looking to improve.
Yep, I agree with you on that. They're at a B right now. They got some really interesting pieces, just like you said, and I want to start with their pitching staff. I like Alex Cobb. I feel he's going to be – there's those guys that Tampa get that just come out of nowhere. Cobb's the name now. A couple years ago, it was Price. You know, I think Cobb is going to be the face of that pitching staff in a couple of years. And right now, I think I hope to see Longoria stay healthy. I mean, he's hurt every year, you know, and if he stays healthy and his back comes around like it usually is, I think they'll be good. And I think Desmond Jennings is starting to this is his second year, right?
Yep.
I think he's a good second year player. He's quick. He steals your bases. Good defender. I think he'll be really good for this team too. And I like Ben Zobrist. He was All Star last year, right?
He was. Came out of nowhere. Put up some decent numbers. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those three on the offense can definitely carry the Rays a long way. So I'm going to go with B with you on. And our last team in the AL East, we're going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays. How about them?
So I have a tough time trashing on the Blue Jays because I don't believe in the philosophy of what they did. I don't believe that basically you import the Florida Marlins that imploded in Miami last year. I'm sorry, the Miami Marlins. You sign the oldest Cy Young player that you could with a trick pitch. You know, nothing against Dickey, but I don't pay Dickey, you know, like I would pay Roy Halladay. I just don't do it 5 years ago. And they did it. So, you know, it's disappointing. The offense is what the offense is. They are a slugging team. You know, they hit a lot of home runs. Encarnacion has really blossomed in the last couple of years, but they can't pitch. They can't get people out. They don't hit for particularly good average. And for that, you know, I guess that's a C minus, that's a D. You know, I'd give them an F, but in the end, you know, trash in, trash out.
Yep. I give them a D. You're right. They went for it all in the NL East. And they saw Dickey had a good year, and they tried their hardest to get him. And you're right, you got a pitcher that's 39 years old with one pitch, and he doesn't have anything else, and he's been getting rocked lately. I thought that Burley would help them out a little bit with their staff, but, you know, he's getting to that point where he's starting to get rocked too, and he's not making it past 3 or 4 innings. And I think that it really hurt them when Rex ankle about a month or so ago. And like you said, and that lineup, you know, I mean, you look up and down, there's not anybody. I would pitch to everybody else. And I mean, sometimes even if there's nobody on base, I'd pitch to those two guys. So I'm going to have to go with the D with the Blue Jays.
Yep. No argument here. And you know what? As far as the American League East goes, I think that's a very competitive division. You know, I don't know, in my opinion, if that's the most talented division in baseball. I know you've got some, you know, some teams that have been up there for the last 5, 6 years, 10 years, 15 years in Boston and New York and Tampa joining it. But definitely a strong division. To me, the strength of the division lays with the Yankees. And, you know, if the Yankees can be the Yankees and hit, I think this division becomes the number one division. But if the Yankees are going to do it with 35-year-old journeymen who haven't done anywhere else, that doesn't last very long. And, you know, the division in itself will suffer a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. And there, and the Blue Jays are 25-34 with 11 games out. So I think it's safe to say that they'll finish last in the division.
Well, never say never. They got, you know, R.A. Dickey, you know. They got Josh Johnson. They got Mark Burley. They're ready to go, man. They're ready to make a run.
I hope so. All right, next let's switch to the AL Central. I feel that it's been a good division for the last handful of years. You've had Detroit's had their time. Chicago won the World Series in 2005. Minnesota was good at one point, but they just started rebuilding. So with that being said, let's start with the Detroit Tigers at 31-25 right now. This is a team that's going to be there every year, you know. What would you give them right now?
Lamar, you can't make me show you mine before you show me yours all the time. I'm going to have to let you give your grades. Because I can't just have, you know, kind of, you know, tagging along on my grades and go, I agree, you know. We got to see some original ideas from you, man. You got to put it out there.
All right, no problem. I can start off with that. I'm going to go with the B right now. And that's because their bats haven't came around. And I know when once it gets warmer, their bats come around. I like the pickup of Torii Hunter, and having Victor Martinez back from the ACL surgery is going to help them out a lot. So another thing that I like was they had closer problems at the beginning of the season. They bought Jose Valverde back, and since he's been back, he's had 6 saves. His ERA is 3.55. He has a 0.87 whip. So I think that this team is going to win. It's warmer. They'll play their best baseball. So I'm going to give them a B right now, because of the bats.
So I'm going to channel RJ and Hank, our resident Detroit fans here, and I'm going to tell you what, that those guys would be absolutely disappointed with the Tigers again this year. Disappointed. This team is loaded with so much talent, and to be 6 games over 500 and to be lazy about winning the division, you know? They did this last year. They hovered around, you know, a couple games over 500. They didn't put teams away until the last couple. But it was the last week with the White Sox, and when the White Sox kind of caved. This team has been, you know, it's carried by some incredible talent. They're just not winning games, and it's got to be frustrating. You know, the defense has to get better. I think the clutch pitching has to get better. Miggy is Miggy. You know, he's, you know, aiming to be a repeat MVP there. But, you know, in terms of a grade for the Tigers, I think it's a B minus. I mean, you're in first place. Yeah, you got a 2.5 game lead, but man, you're probably in the worst division in baseball, arguably. Maybe the NL West can give you a run there. But, man, they should be a lot further ahead than they are now. And I think it's disappointing that they haven't played up where they should yet.
The last couple of years at this point, they've been at least the second best team in AL, but it's that fourth or fifth best that'll be able to get in, you know, being a division winner. But I think that I'm hoping maybe that once the summer really hits and it gets warmer, that their bats come around, and who knows, they might need another Verlander. Can only be, you know, he can only be so much of a dog, and hopefully that they pick up just one more pitcher and then go into the second half of the season and see what they can do. So
I would hear you with that. The only thing I would counter with is, you know, they're hitting. They are hitting. You know, they're really first in the American League in average right now. Sixth in home runs, second in runs. They're actually second in ERA. It's about, you know, you know what this team reminds me of? It's a fantasy team that can't win a one-run game sometimes, you know? They got, then they put up stats. The back of those baseball cards look fantastic. But for some reason, they're not 15 games over 500. They're 6, you know? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And in the end, I think you have to go down to, you know, that's about focus, you know? that's those Yankee teams, you know, in the past 10 years or so that were just loaded with this type of talent. And, man, they'd be 20-some games over 500 right now just cruising because they were professional and they just laid it down on people. And I think that's what the Tigers are missing right now, that killer instinct to say, we're going to win this division in May. We're going to win it in June because we are so much better than everybody in this division. And right now the stats are there, but the wins aren't.
You know what I think Detroit needs?
What's that?
Here's what they need.
We need more dogs.
That's right.
They need more dogs. So
that is
our next team, we got the Rams. And it's an interesting year for the first year with Francona, good pickups, and Michael Bourne. And was Cabrera already there?
Oh, yeah, Asdrubal Cabrera came up with the Indians. Hank was in love with Asdrubal Cabrera. We couldn't say his first name for a while, but he's definitely been there. He's been a player there for a couple years now, under the radar, and just now starting to get his due.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so Cleveland, you know what, one game over 500, I think, at this point? You know, dealing with some injuries for sure. I mean, when you've got Scott Kazmir starting games for you in June, you know you're kind of digging at the bottom of the barrel. The closer Perez just went out. And you know what? Cleveland is that type of team where they're on the cusp, you know, but you don't have a lot of faith that they can hold it up for a long period of time. So I think they're hovering around 500. I think this is maybe a B-minus for them. They would like to be a little bit better, but to be honest with you, you go up and down that roster, they're a 500 team. You know, they're kind of where they should be. So
yep.
I don't think they're horribly disappointed. They may end up five games over, but that would be it.
Yep, at 30 and 29 and 2.5, they're in a good spot right now, and like we were saying, they got some good players. But there's one guy I feel that if he stepped up, that could possibly put him over, and that's Ubaldo Jimenez.
Yeah, you know what? He's had his best outings of the year lately. He's gone. I think he went 8 innings in his last year, and he's starting to get that control back and stop walking people. And I agree with you. To get him back in that ace mentality would be a huge thing for them, and give them someone they can start up against, Verlander or some of the other aces that are out there in the division. But I do agree with you that, you know, to be able to count on him consistently for 7 innings every time he goes out, this team needs that.
Let me see if they're in here. Okay,
so... let's see. Let's go with the next team would be
the Minnesota.
Yep, Minnesota at 26-29. They're 4.5 out. There's, to me, I'm gonna give them a D. I
wouldn't mind if Joe Bauer out of there.
The north side.
So I keep having you cut out a little bit on me, Lamar. I think we're having technical difficulties. Hopefully it's not me.
It might be me. I'm sorry. Did you hear the last part?
You got that kind of Chevy Chase thing where it's out for 2 seconds and back in for a second and then back out.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. The next team, Minnesota, at 26-29. I was saying I was going to give them a D. I think they had their best years so far, and I think they got some pretty decent young talent coming through the minors. But one person I would love to get out of there and put him on the north side would be Joe Mauer. We can use him as a catcher.
yeah, you could. And you know what? Here's an example in my mind of a team that has a losing record, but how can you be down on the Twins? I mean – they were within 2 games, I think 2 weeks ago, then they went and lost like 8 of 10 games, right? And really their standings. But this is a team that has, you know, 100 loss potential, okay? And they're three games under, and they're 8-2 in their last 10, and they've been doing it with Maurer and Morneau's kind of having a little bit of a resurgence. They're not going to win anything. You know, they're in the bottom half of the league in ERA, offense, average, home runs, everything. But they're winning. But they're winning, you know? And I think three games underneath for the Twins, after they had this seven-game losing streak, I think that's a B-minus for these guys. Yeah, you want to win. Yeah, the goal is always to go to the playoffs. But sometimes teams line up on April 1st, and you know they don't have a shot. And Minnesota was one of those teams. And I think they've done a great job, you know. Ron Gardenhire, you know, Tom Kelly, you know, the style of Twins manager and Twins baseball says we don't care who we throw out there. This is the type of ball we play, and we're going to be competitive. Even when they had great rosters, they slugged it out, and they did what they could. If Detroit had 10% of the moxie of the Minnesota Twins, see, I've said moxie twice in the show. I can't say it again for the rest of the year now. But if Detroit had balance, right, of Minnesota's competitiveness and drive to win this year, they would be 20 games over 500 because Minnesota is playing way above their heads at this point. In my mind, they're a B, and they're doing it with mirrors.
Do you think they'll stay at where they're at right now, or do you think they'll drop back a position or two in the division?
Oh, I think, well, there's not a long way to go. Kansas City is tremendously more talented than Minnesota. Chicago, you could kind of say those are similar rosters. I think Minnesota by far is probably the least talented team in that in the Central. So I think they'll fall down back to earth if things play out right and the averages fall right. But right now they're winning games, they're winning close games, and they're doing great. But I would expect to see them in fifth or sixth. I'm sorry, there is no sixth place, so fourth or fifth at the end of the year.
Okay. And the team we love to hate, the Chicago White Sox. How do you feel about
that? So the White Sox, you know what? This reminds me of a couple years ago. It's got to be about 15 years ago. You remember when Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox were about three games out of it at the trading deadline, and Reinsdorf decided to trade the players and not get somebody in, but trade some of the talent for minor league players, and the city went nuts. You're three games from the playoffs. What are you doing? And he said, you know what? We don't have the talent to win at all. We don't feel we're real close, so let's start getting more talent in here. I think last year's run for the White Sox, even though they didn't win the division, they really challenged Detroit up until the last two or three days of the season, was a little bit of fool's gold for them. This is an older roster. This is a team that needs to be flipped over pretty quickly here in terms of talent and get some infusion of young players. I think they were hoping to recapture what they did last year. They've got to be disappointed in the record that they have now, 7-under. So they would probably say they're at a C minus or D. But I would tell you, according to the roster and where they're at, they're underperforming a little bit. So they're still maybe a C. A solid C in my book, but to think that they would be competing for the division wasn't very likely.
A C or a D seems just fitting for the Sox. They, like you said, they have to turn this around in a hurry. Unfortunately, they've had injuries to Banks, and Banks had an injury. Floyd's out for the year, and then Peavy just today, he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a rib cage discomfort, and hopefully some of their younger guys and their minors can step up and contribute right away, but they have to, because this Reels contract and Dunn's contract is outrageous right now, not want that on the books. And then another thing, Beckham, do you think he'll ever be the player that, you know, as he was drafted high, and, I mean, a top 10 pick, you would think that he would be a star by now, and he would, you know, just you would just think the world of him right now. His confidence isn't there, and he's a decent defender, and his bat is okay at times, and he bats 8-9, but I mean, they really have to evaluate, is he going to be their second baseman or shortstop for the future, or possibly, I mean, if it got that bad, they could possibly move him to third. So I think that they also need to get some better relievers. They really don't have that when that starter goes out, they really don't have that long reliever to come in for like 3 or 4 innings to, you know, to help them out and save the game. So they need to fix their relief pitching. But I'd, like you said, a C or D is not bad for them. That's what they should. That's what they should.
Yeah. And you know what? Unfortunately for them, you go up and down that lineup, and it's an old lineup. It really is an old lineup. And in terms of Gordon Beckham, he had that breakout rookie year where people thought he was going to be able to sustain that. I believe that was 05. That was when they went to the series, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then he's been a below average major league offensive player, maybe bottom half of average, but it's been nothing of what they thought he was going to be. He really has regressed. And in the end, you know, what do they say, right? You are who the back of your baseball card says you are. And, you know, here's the thing about, you know, well, he's been hurt a lot, too. So he is what it is, you know, and he's going to be gone pretty quick off the White Sox because, you know why? It doesn't matter if he stays. And if you've got a player that, it doesn't matter if he stays, then why not get rid of him and get somebody younger?
That's true. All right, the last team in the division, we got the Kansas City Royals. This is a team that I feel I want to see them be good someday, but it's just, are they ever going to be better than what they are right now?
Yeah, you know what? Kansas City was such a frustrating team in terms of talent, right? So
it's really frustrating.
they make the trade for Shields, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to be the stalwart in that rotation. And he's done all right. They've really let him down. What it is, you know, they're just not hitting clutch. They're not hitting for power. There was a point, I think it was over the last 2 or 3 weeks, where the Cubs pitching staff had out-homered the entire Kansas City Royal team over that period of time. It's lovely.
That's a great stat.
I knew you would appreciate that one, Lamar. But man, you know, and the thing that's most disappointing for the Royals, I think, in their opinion, is they had another streak again this year where they had lost 10, I think it was 10, 11 games in a row at home.
Okay? And that took them out immediately.
Exactly. So now you've got to, you know, they were hovering right around the top, maybe a game and a half away from Detroit, Cleveland, when Cleveland was leading the division. And they've just tanked 2-8 in their last 10, 5 games underneath 500 at home. You can't win baseball. You can't win over a season and be a sub-500 home team. They need to establish an identity. They need some mental toughness, I think, is what that team needs. And if you said, if Kansas City had a wish list of what they could bring in for a team to turn this team around, I think they need to invest in some 31, 32-year-olds, some grizzled veterans, right, who've been through it, who've done it before, who are professionals, who know how to win baseball games and still have some talent. And the guy who comes to my mind, and you know that everyone knows I'm a Reds fan, right? Cincinnati was left us, okay? Scott Rowland came into that organization and said, I don't put up with the BS. I don't care about your staff. I don't care about your contract. Let's win baseball games. Here's how we do it. We're professional. We don't mess around. And guess what happened? That spread like a virus clubhouse in Cincinnati. And that team has a winning mentality, a cockiness, and a professionalism. So when they go out, they expect to win, and they play the right way. Kansas City is completely missing that. And I don't know, maybe you can think of a guy or two coming up in free agency here that would just be that type of player for them to turn the whole team around.
I agree with you. Pitching-wise, I would like to see them get a guy like David Price or Tim Lynch come to, first of all, accomplish it. They really need a stud at the top of that rotation. Bats-wise, I mean, there's a lot of guys at that age or that point in their prime, but I'd like to see them fix the pitching first.
You know, the issue with pitching, in my opinion, is you only come out and you're there once every 5 days, right? And they got Shields there, and I agree with you. They could absolutely increase that pitching staff and have some immediate help. But what if you brought a guy like David Wright in, okay? A guy national guy can come through there and just show them how to play. Another one would be maybe Jacob Ellsbury coming. He's going to be a free agent in Boston this year. And I tell you what.
Cubs are all over that.
They are? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But no, it can happen. It can happen.
Or you throw it out of left field, and this will never happen in a million years, but Robinson Cano, all right? What if for some reason Kansas City said, guess what, $30 million a year, 8 years, 9 years, there you go, Robinson. Come on over to Kansas City and then see what
happens.
You
can't turn that down.
You can't. You can't. That's what they need, I think. I think they need that type of attitude, that type of leadership, and it can come from a pitcher. It can come from anywhere. But spend a little money for attitude, not necessarily for talent. And we see this in football a lot where I'll give you – so once again, I'll use my Cincinnati analogy because it's close to my mind here. You've got a Bengals team that is loaded with talent, but they may not quite have that attitude yet, you know, that expectation, that swagger. So what do they do this year? They don't spend a lot of money on big-time free agents. They bring in James Harrison. They bring in a badass, all right?
Yep.
From the Steelers,
big
right? Who knows how to win, who doesn't take any BS, and will slap you when you're down, all right? That's what Kansas City needs. Just like that.
Yep. All right. A little time left. Let's round out the AL West and switch over to the National League. AL West, we got a top Texas 35-22. I'm going to give them an A. I mean, with Hamilton leaving, they kind of remind me of how the Cardinals was a year ago when Pujols left. And it seems crew did a very good job bringing in Yu Darvish and developing talent through the minors. So I'm going to go ahead and give the Rangers a hit right now.
And I would agree with you. You know, this is a team that I actually picked to win the division this year because a lot of times I call it muscle memory with teams, right? If a team's been good for a long time, last couple years, Texas has been going to the World Series, and they keep losing pieces, right? You know, Steelers,
yep.
Another good example of the Steelers, right? But they keep doing the same thing. They keep winning because they know how to win. And this year it's really been the pitching that has, you know, done it for them. You know, we talked about, you know, Yu Darvish, Derek Holland's another one who's pitched well for them. Their starting pitchers have done real well. They're the first in the American League in ERA, and they've been doing it without slamming the home run all the time. So this team, you know, probably thought they could be in this place, but, you know, once again, you wouldn't necessarily bet on it when you're looking at the roster. So I agree with you. This is an A season so far for Texas. They've shown now that they have a mentality to win baseball games in Texas, and that's going to carry them a lot further than Josh Hamilton would have as the Angels are finding out.
I definitely agree with you on that. Next team, we got the Oakland A's, another interesting team that made the playoffs last year, and they won the division last day, beating Texas. So this year they're 36-25, one game out. I'm going to go ahead and give this team an A as well. I like the chemistry that they have right now. They have Coco Chris playing really good baseball right now, and Josh Reddick coming back from an injury, and Cespedes, I think he's going to be maybe the best outfielder in the AL within the next 5 years. And I like the leadership that they have with Colon and Chris on this team. So I'm going to give this team an A, and they're doing a very good job this year.
You know, I agree with you on that. This is another team, you know, like Baltimore last year, that you thought, are they for real? Do you believe it? Do you think that's right? I mean, they won a lot of close games. They played good defense. This is a team that RJ used to love, right? Because they go through there and they win baseball games even though you think they shouldn't because they play the game the right way. And where this team has been really successful is they've played just under half of their games in division, right, against the AL West, and they're 20-8 in their division. And so that is how you stay relevant over the course of a baseball year. You beat the teams in your division, and, you know, that's an automatic one-game jump, you know, or a two-game difference between winning and losing. And they've been doing that. So I think absolutely an A. Bob Melvin is doing a great job in Oakland. They should be happy with it. Once again, you try not to fall in love with this team because this is not a World Series team. This is not a World Series caliber team. It's not, but it's competitive.
No, it's a young team. It's a young team. You're right. It's a young team that's very good with two good leaders.
Right, right. So I think you're happy with them. In the end, Oakland has to ask themselves, you know, how do we get to the next level? Because being competitive is great, but do they want to be competitive or do they want to be world champions? And if they want to be world champions, they need to surround Cespedes with a little bit more talent on that roster. They've gotten very fortunate with Coco Crisp. I agree with you. He's having a great year. But, you know, how long can you rely on that to go through? How long can you rely on Josh Donaldson to put up those numbers? You know, so a little more talent there, and I think they get to the next level. At this point, it's still a nice story. It's still an A.
Mm-hmm. Next team, we got Seattle Mariners at 26 and 33, 10 games out. This is an interesting situation. They still got some young guys and a good rookie and Kyle Seager is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And Felix Hernandez. I mean, you can only say so much about him. Great pitcher, but they really need to get more pieces to surround these guys with. And who knows? Maybe in 4 or 5 years they'll be contenders. But for this point, at this point of the season, to be 7 games under .500, it's not too bad. So anywhere from a C to a D for the Mariners.
And I agree with you there. That's C, right? So what were your expectations? They're kind of where you thought they were. This is a boring roster. There's not a lot of talent on this club. They had to send Montero down. Smoke, who they were hoping to catch fire at some point, just hasn't done it for them again. So it's a disappointing roster up and down when you look at it. I mean, you've got King Felix there with, you know, they signed the extension. And we debated this at one of the first shows this year about, was that the right thing to do? If they could have really reloaded their roster with young talent and gotten that into Seattle, they could have had a fortune for King Felix, and they didn't do it. They decided they needed him to fill the ballpark. But, you know, if I'm in Seattle, all right, you give me one game out of five I'll consider going to, but the other four, who am I there to watch? You know, that just Jason Bay? Is that who I'm there for?
Jason Bay and Love.
So you know, to me that's a C, but you know, it's a disappointing organization. You know, to your point, if you can say in 4 or 5 years maybe you'll be good, you know, you're exactly right, because you know, I haven't seen the influx of young talent that Seattle's been talking about. Their prospects have been washing out, and even if you do bring up those prospects, you're still 2 or 3 years from them consistently, you know, adding to your team. And at that point, you've got King Felix in year 4 of a 7-year deal, and maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's not as effective as he used to be. So they really need to scrap this and do something different in Seattle. That's a good fan base. They have a strong history of developing some great talent in that town. And right now, it's Triple-A baseball that's going on up there.
Couldn't agree more. Next team, we got the L.A. Angels at 26 and 33 as well, 10 games up. How do you feel about them?
I feel vindicated by him. Where is Hank? Hank's gone today, huh? Once again, this is the example of, you know, you pay for your wins and maybe you get guys that are hurt. Maybe you get guys that are happy to have their $20 million per year. You know, you've got, I think, you know, a top 10 guy in Mike Trout right now in terms of production and potential. He's a wonderful talent. I'm a fan of Trumbo, but, man, you got Albert Pujols, who is hurt and playing through something, and he's just, man, he's hitting .244. You have Josh Hamilton hitting .217. Between those two guys, you have $40 million going through. This is a F minus, 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 minus. And it's for the team, it's for the manager, and it's for the organization making those types of investments when smarter organizations like Texas and St. Louis said no thank you. So
yep.
In the end, and they got what they deserved, and it's unfortunate.
And with that being said, I think it's safe to say this, that L.A.
Playoffs?
Wants to see this.
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Last team in the division, we got Houston at 21-38, 15 games out. I don't know. I don't have too much to say about Houston. I mean, changed to a different league. They're still, I mean, they're a young team, and they have a couple pieces, but that's all they'll be for years to come. So I guess a D, we can say.
Can a team overachieve and be 17 under in June? It is what it is, right? That's a C. So for me, if you're the Astros, you're not looking at record this year. You can't, right? You've got to look at the development of your players and seeing how these young guys are doing, okay, and if they're producing for you. And, you know, you've got Altuve, who's still kind of, you know, he's having an Altuve-type year at this point, right? Good stick, not much power. They're developing, you know, some of those young players come up, and they're having solid years. So don't look at the win-loss record for Houston. I think they're having a C-plus, B-minus year because they're doing exactly what they wanted to do. The expectation was not to win games. It was not to win the division. It was to play a roster of young players and get them experience. So that's what's going on. You know, if that's your expectations, I guess that's where they expected to be. So they're probably a C average, you know, because that's what they're doing.
Okay, with that being said, we rounded out the AL. Now for the next couple of minutes, let's talk about the NL. We won't break down every team, but...
Right. You know what, Lamar? I was thinking, we probably should devote, the full show to the National League next week, but you know, we have something here, and you know this too, you know, dog of the week. And first of all, I got to give it to you. You know, coming on as a rookie onto the show and really leading the charge has been fantastic. So it's good to have you on. I don't know if I've officially welcomed you to this point yet.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It's been fun. And, yeah, we can definitely do a National Week next week. I was looking at that because, I mean, we got to go through the whole week. But, yeah, definitely the AL – the AL, it'll definitely be interesting this year. And that you had some very good points with each team in each division. So it's good to talk, you know, baseball, because baseball is my second favorite sport.
And you know what's important? You got to show your colors now. So I think we got about 8 minutes left here. But you got to tell people who you are and who you root for and why you root for that team, so we know why your slanted opinion is that way.
All right. I can do that. My name is Lamar, and my favorite team is the Cubs, and I'll tell you why I love the Cubs. The Cubs, I've been a fan since I was a little guy, you know, and my parents are from Chicago, and I was, for that one, I know we talked last night, you know, about the Jaguars and the Blue Devils and the Lakers and all that stuff, but Chicago, the Cubs is probably my favorite Chicago team. I mean, I've been watching them ever since I was there. Ever since I've been old enough, I've been going to games and following players and all kinds of good stuff. So I can't wait, you know, down the road when we win a World Series. It might not be this year or next year, you know, but it's coming.
So let me ask you this question. So we all grew up with the Cubs in one way or another. You know, Hank's the old man. He remembers Jackie Robinson when he was playing. What's the first Cub team you remember growing up that you're like, that's my team, and you could talk about them? What team was that? Who was on that roster?
I think we might have to go 92 with Sean Dunston and Sandberg and Mark Grace and Sosa and let's see, who else do we have?
All right.
Yeah, Sean Dunston as short. I remember a couple of those players, and then I remember through the years we started getting guys like Glenn Allen Hill and Gary Gaetti and Mickey Morbini, you know, those type of players throughout the years. But I'd say first, second grade, because one of my best friends was, his parents were season ticket holders, so they, you know, I had somebody to talk to the Cubs about when I was younger.
And so now I got to ask you another question, because now Harry Carey was still there. I think he was doing it till what, maybe
96, 97?
Yeah, something like that. So are you a Harry Carey on the radio guy, which is innings 4-7 or 4-6? Are you a Harry Carey on TV, innings 1-3, 6-9? What's your favorite Harry Carey?
And Harry Carey on TV, Def, because I well, at the time, I mean, it was tough for the radio, you know. It wasn't like I could drive around and, you know, listen to Harry, but I mean, I watched all the Cubs games on TV, so it was easier to see him on TV.
Yeah. And you know what? What I liked about Harry on the radio is you knew he was slamming a couple beers the entire time because no one could look at him at that point, right? On TV, he had a hold of.
Yep, you're right. You're right. Bob Uecker kind of took some, you know. He was.
But you know, the Cubs, and I think it's interesting because I'm a little bit younger than you, or I'm sorry, a little bit older than you, and grew up when the cable TV started coming around in WGN, and I moved around a lot as a kid, and so it was always either the Braves or the Cubs that you could see games of, right? So you could hear Harry or Don Sutton, or you could hear Harry Carey and Steve Stone. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, for me, that first Cubs team that I saw and kind of followed was the Leon Durham teams of, I think it was 84, with Larry Boa at shortstop. I think that was a Bob Dernier team in center field as well, with Jody Davis, King of Wrigley Field. I still remember that. Back from the day. So the Cubs are an interesting, they're kind of a zeitgeist thing, right? Because you don't have to be from Chicago to know about the Cubs because you saw them all the time. So it's an interesting team to follow. And, you know, and I always, you know, I work with a lot of Cubs fans down in Chicago. And I'll give you guys one thing more than anything else, you're loyal. And on this show, we reward and we respect loyal baseball fans. We respect them. We root for that front of the jersey, not for the back of the jersey. And that's, you've got to do that as a Cubs fan, right?
Yep. You know it.
and you know, if you had to name your favorite player, all-time Cub, who is it?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, I would say Ryan Sandberg. I think he's my favorite Cub ever. Him and Mark Grace, just that second base, first base duo, you know, growing up and watching them. I like the Hawk too, and I'm glad he was a part of it. I'm glad I got a chance to see the Hawk. Sandberg's my favorite couple of all time.
Yeah. Where's the best place to sit? Are you a bleachers guy, or you want to sit in the concourse?
Bleachers is the best.
I saw some interesting, you know, characters in bleachers growing up, man.
There's definitely some interesting characters out there that sit in the bleachers, but it's a fun time though. You go out there on a Friday around 1:20 or a weekend.
Yep.
There's not a better place to be at that moment.
I would agree. And so in terms of the Cubs now, obviously they're well, I don't think they're last in the division anymore, but you know,
the brew crew.
from your perspective, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? And do you agree with the new approach? Do you agree with Theo Epstein? Are you a big fan of that?
I definitely think they're headed in a better direction. And like you were saying earlier about how we were talking about the Yankees and Red Sox and other teams, you know, they had the biggest payroll next to the Yankees 5 years ago when they were actually good and made it to the playoffs. That one offseason they signed Jason Marquise, they had him for $21 million. Then you had DeRosa for $21 million. Then you went out and signed Sordano. Then you went out, you bought in Bob Howry and Scott Arey. They went out and bought they went after all these free agents and spent so much money. And then, Soriano's the only one that's left. And then you went Zimbrano for 5 years, 5 years, $95 million. So, they got the worst contracts off the book, but I don't mind the approach that they're doing right now, that they have some very good the talent is actually playing good. So I look forward to seeing what they can do within the next couple of years. And the only thing they need to do is add pieces, like you were saying, a Jacoby Ellsbury or a David Price or a Tim Lincecum, you know, to complement Samardzija or Feldman, whoever it may be at that point.
Those are big pieces. So if you could pick one guy that you got your sights on, I got a feeling it's Ellsbury, but is that the guy you think the Cubs need to come in and play for them?
I'd go David Price because we got Jorge Soler down in Peoria waiting to come up at any time.
And you know what? There's a guy on that team now that David DeJesus, I'm a fan of. I like him. He's a good player. I would take him on my team. So
yep, I would definitely keep him too.
Cool. Well, hey, Laura, I think we ran out of time on the board.
Yep, I think we did.
But that was a fun, good show. I think next week we'll do even better. We'll get Hank in here, mix it up. But hopefully your first show was a good one. You had a good time, and you're not afraid to come back again next week.
Oh, everything was perfect, and thank you. I appreciate it. It was good to talk baseball, and I'm looking forward to next week too. We'll talk more Reds and Cubs.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. It's not necessarily a national radio show. In that you got to talk about everything because you've got a perspective, right? I've got a perspective. Hank's got his perspective. And in the end, when you're talking baseball, you got to talk from the heart, right? You got to talk what you know, and then you got to argue about it after that.
That's what's fun.
Well, hey, have a good night. I'll talk to you next week. And thanks again for coming in and taking care of things, all right?
No problem. You do the same, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Lamar. Bye.
Bye-bye.